This is number three. Put your helmet up there, son. Number three in a series. And next Sunday will be our last in this series on armor. And so today is 3.0. I'm going to try to catch you up just a little bit if you've missed one of the last two or both of them, so you can see where we're sort of going with it. But we're finishing up a thought, finishing up the idea, looking particularly today at the last three pieces of the armor that the Lord tells us to put on. And so when you see a guy like this, maybe not like this, but when you see a fella dressed like this, your mind automatically runs to a certain environment or an atmosphere. I mean, because if not, why the helmet, why the armor, why the gun, why any of it? And so the word armor itself puts you in the, sort of it puts you in the right spiritual frame of mind that we should most all the time live in. Just the whole idea of armor. And that's why we've been taking our time with the passage in Ephesians. You can turn there with me if you want. We'll look at the passage in just in a few moments, but we're taking our time with it because I really want it to sink in, and I certainly do appreciate all the emails and the comments about how it's helped you, and that's obviously what it's designed to do. But the whole idea of wearing armor puts you in the right frame of mind spiritually. In other words, if we talked about going to save this fellow, and I don't know if he needs saved or not. I just picked him off of Google Images. We may not want to. But in other words, if the mission was to go get him, then you see those fellows on the side. Looks like some pretty bad dudes. And then all of this then makes sense, right? The whole everything, the gun, the armor, all of it makes sense. If that's the objective. If that's the environment or if that's the atmosphere that you're going to place us in, then this right here absolutely makes sense. But who would ever think that you'd need this in an environment or an atmosphere like that? And yet for the last 3 weeks or the last 2 weeks, I've asked you, have you ever been hurt by somebody in church? And I just use church sort of as a representative of the sort of the most, what we would consider one of the safest environments ever. Right, a church should be. And yet many folks have been hurt in church. Not real bullets, not flesh wounds, hopefully, but heart wounds. And in many instances, those wounds hurt deeper and last longer than an actual bullet wound would. And so this environment here, you would never dream of having to wear this kind of getup for that kind of an environment. And yet in Ephesians chapter 6, when the Lord tells us to put on the whole armor of God, the relationships that he mentions are the basic and the closest of all relationships. He mentions a husband and a wife, children with their parents and parents with their children. And then he mentions this servant and bond slave, which what we would apply today to an employer and employee relationship. Those three relationships there, your work relationship, your home relationship, and your children probably constitute 80% of all the relationships you have and intermingle with. And so when he got finished talking about husbands and wives and parents with children and employer with employees for our sake, then in that atmosphere and in that context, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, the enemy, and that's the next slide. I don't mean to jump ahead of myself. But the idea here is for me and you to get into the frame of mind that an atmosphere like this needs armor. Now, next week, I'm going to finish up with when we get wounded. And next week, I want to talk to you about being able to take all this off. Because you should have some relationships where this, that doesn't come off, does it? There should be, I'll get it off. Hang on just a second. There should be some relationships. Oh, that's going to bother me. Yeah, your hair looks crazy. That's for sure. At least you got hair. Don't complain. Won't last long. There should be some relationships where all this stuff can come off. Because a lot of energy, a lot of spiritual energy goes into making sure that your armor is on. A lot of mental and emotional energy goes into it. And so there ought to be some relationships where all this can come off. And you can be vulnerable to that loved one, or you can be vulnerable to that person. And you can open up to them and trust them. Know that they're not going to hurt you, and know that they're not going to use any of that against you. But to be quite honest, folks, I wouldn't say it's in a church setting. I would hope that within a church setting, you'll build some relationships to where this stuff can come off. But even in a church setting, even amongst Christians, Christians hurt Christians. And so just because you're in a church, or just because, well, those folks at work, he told me he was a Christian. He said he goes down to such and such Bible church. And yet at the same time, I can't believe he stabbed me in the back. And so we got to, most of the time, got to make sure we got our armor on, even in these kinds of environments. All right? So let me, this is all review. So number one, don't be surprised when folks are shooting at you. Don't be surprised when somebody does throw some darts. Don't be surprised when somebody does criticize. Don't be surprised when somebody does talk. Don't be surprised about it. The scripture says that it's impossible, but offenses will come. You're going to get shot at. There's just no two ways of looking at it. Number two, expect friction because you're making progress. The more spiritual progress you make, the more you're going to upset Satan. So we got a real enemy. There's no doubt about it. Now, he can't be everywhere at one time, and he can't be messing with you and messing with somebody else. He's highly organized and got demons of hell and all of that. There is a spiritual world out there of which he is charge of the underworld. No doubt about it. And he is intermingled among humanity for about 6,000 years now. And he's a real enemy. He's not all powerful, and he's not all knowing, but he's been around a long time. He's got a lot of experience how to deal with folks like us. And he can overlook a situation, a family or a home or a workplace, and he knows who knows who could give him some damage. Just like in the verse where the demon said, "Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you?" In other words, you can be known in hell. And the more progress you make spiritually, the more friction you're going to cause. So you got to be ready for this thing. Third, but please don't mistake the enemy. Don't mistake the enemy. The enemy is not that person. The enemy is not that gal. The enemy is not that guy. The enemy is not that individual who said what they said to hurt you like they've hurt you. That's not the real enemy. And the problem is you're going to spend your effort and your energy shooting at the wrong enemy, fighting back at the wrong enemy. Realize this, and we'll see it in the passage in just in a moment, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not who we wrestle against. That's not the enemy. But against principalities, powers of darkness of this world and of this age. That's who we fight against. So, last week we were here then. So here's our three things. Let's see. Why don't you just take a seat over here just in case this crowd breaks bad. And then, and plus we'll watch during offering time. And you can point it out there. Here's where we were last week. Three things, and the kids were, I overheard that the children really love this illustration of girding your loins and pulling your robe up and tucking it up under your belt and the big diaper and all that stuff, and they were quite tickled last week about it. But we talked about all this, and if I go back over it now, I'm not going to be able to finish next week where I want to be. But the loins girt with truth. Just the only thing I'll point out here is notice that it starts to the closest thing in you, and it works out. We're going to work all the way out to a shield of faith, but we start within the closest thing to you. And so your loins are girt with truth. And then the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about covering your heart. And righteousness meaning a balance there, right? And that you've got to balance out the things that hit your heart. In other words, you can't always be the victim. It can't always be somebody else's fault. If you live a life to where everything is somebody else's fault all the time, you're going to get your heart out of balance. And you're going to end up a lonely, old, embittered person. Because it's always, all my problems are out there somewhere. It's always this person. No, you got to balance. You got to protect your heart with righteousness, with the right kind of a balance. And then the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's where we went last week. All right, here's today. Three things then here that I want to mention to you about this matter of protection. And you want to go down, sit down? Or you want to stay up here? You probably. Go ahead. Huh? Can you go down? There you go. You want to give him a hand? There you go. Sit right there. He didn't know he was dressing up. He had some long pants on, but he didn't know until this morning. I told him I thought I could dress him a whole lot easier than I could dress me. I tried it last week, and I couldn't get the vest to button. But anyway, shield of faith. Let me, if I could, I want to end up on the shield of faith. So let me talk about the two here, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And then I want to focus in on the shield because it's not the most important piece, but it may be one of the most effective pieces of equipment to you. And it's one that's going to get used quite often. Number two, the helmet of salvation. Making sure that your head is screwed on right when it comes to salvation. And what I want to say about this thing, now again, we're talking about preventing the devil to get to us. So on your head, your mind, your brain, it has to be the helmet of salvation. Most all the biographies you're going to read about great Christians or about Christians who've done, you know, accomplishments worth writing about, most all of them talk somewhere along the line. Now, not all of them, but most all of them talk somewhere along the line about coming to an assurance of salvation. And large, sometimes it was due to how they were raised and the understanding they had about salvation. But somewhere along the line, now some people, when they trusted Christ the first time, they understood all the ramifications of what was taking place. And they placed their faith upon Christ. And there wasn't a whole lot of ritual wrapped up in it that they sort of grew up with that they doubted then later on. But I have talked to my own personal experience, talked to a ton of folks over the years who wasn't sure. They knew there's a heaven, they know there's a hell, they know there's an eternity, they know you're going to go somewhere when you die. They're familiar with all the stories of the Bible. They believe in Jesus as far as a historical figure, believe that he came. They'll even say to you that they believe that he died on the cross. They don't have a problem with that. But when then you ask them then about their own assurance for their own, to know that they're on their way to heaven, they're not for sure. And they're still sort of hoping, wishing, guessing, praying about it and trying to do better to make sure that I do get in. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that you can hope or wish or pray and try to do better to get in. You're either saved or you're not saved. And if you are saved, it's not because of you, it's because of Christ. And it's because you've placed your faith on Christ. The assurance of salvation, heaven for you, should be the most important. The thing you have most confidence in this whole world about. I have confidence. I have a good level, I would say a real healthy level of confidence that my wife loves me and cares for me. I have confidence that my children love me and care for me. But to be quite honest with you, all of those are human relationships. I am more confident that I'm saved and on my way to heaven than I am about all of those things. I'm pretty sure about all those things. But the reason I can be more confident about me going to heaven is it's not depending upon me. It's not depending on what I have done or going to do or need to do. It's depending on what Christ has done. So Christ came, died, rose again, had no sins of his own, able then to take care of yours. If you then realize that you yourself are a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, and then if you'll turn to Christ and place your faith upon him, trusting in him to take you to heaven, trusting in him for your soul salvation, it's a you knowing where your faith lies. This is the helmet of salvation, to know in your head. Because when the darts start flying and the bullets start whizzing by, one thing you're going to want to absolutely know is that you're a child of God. To me, that is absolutely foundational. Because you being a child of God makes the difference in the rest of the perspective. It makes a difference in what you're going to do because you're a child of God. It makes a difference in what you're going to believe because you're a child of God. Because you're saved, because you know that you're on your way to heaven. And confidence in that. So the helmet of salvation upon your head. Because if the devil could, what Jesus told Peter is he'd love to sift you. He'd love to shake you up. He'd love to have you anxious and full of anxiety about the future and about your own life. And do you believe this right? And do you believe that right? He would love to confuse you. And he would love for you to chase your works like a dog chases its tail, thinking, well, if I just got to make sure that I'm going to church now more, and there's some bad habits, I'm cutting out on those bad habits, and I'm starting some good habits, and I'm praying a little more, and I'm doing well by my neighbor. Hey, listen, all that stuff is wonderful. It's admirable. I congratulate you on church attendance and Bible reading and praying. I congratulate you on all of those things. But according to the scripture, those are the things we do because we're saved, not to become saved, not to get saved. If you're doing those things to get saved, that, we would call that a work salvation. And Christ has already done the work, and he did it perfectly. He batted 1,000 with it, and he offers you his batting average. He offers you his record. You know, he's already went to the school. He's got straight A's, A pluses in everything, 4.0. And he offers to change his report card out with yours. You say, preacher, that's quite amazing. Yeah, there's a song written about it. It is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it's what turned the whole world upside down, because every other religion on the planet that has ever been has always been about humanity trying to appease or trying to gain favor with God. And it can't be done. God appeased himself through Christ. Christ made the payment, paid the penalty, paid in full. And he offers it to you now as a gift that you can't work for and to accept. And so when you got that on your head, then that's going to make the world look a little different to you, a whole lot different actually. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Spent a series a few weeks ago on the importance of the Bible, and so not necessarily belabor it here, but not to say that it's not important. It's if you pay attention to this, it's your only offensive weapon is the sword. Everything else, if you notice, the helmet, the shield, the feet shod, the breastplate, everything else is defense. The only offensive weapon he gives you is the Word of God. But don't let that scare you. It's all you need to go forward. But you're going to need the sword of the Spirit. Now, just like with any other warrior with a sword, you're going to have to practice. Just because I stick a sword in your hand doesn't mean that you can defend yourself. In fact is, I'd say this, you can do just as much damage with the sword as you can good if you're not well versed with it. So there is a need to study, the scripture says. Why? Because this sword, it's double-edged. And I can tell you as a pastor, I've hurt folks with it. Not because I was trying to hurt them, but because I was trying to help them, but told them too much too early and all that kind of a thing. And so the sword can hurt too as well. So you need to be skilled with it. So it's not just about, well, yeah, I got a Bible. I would encourage you, if you're looking to make some spiritual progress, then you must become acquainted with the sword. And just like any other warrior with a sword, they're going to tell you, hey, when do you practice with it? And you need to spar. Have you a sparring partner? Somebody that you can bounce some things off of spiritually. Hey, what about this verse? What about that passage? Look here what this says. What do you think this means? Everybody needs some sort of a sparring partner they can bounce some stuff off. I have three preacher friends. I got more preacher friends than that, but three of them that I not many more than that, to be quite honest with you. I used to have a whole bunch, but not so much and not so many these days. But I have three of them that I call on a regular basis, at least one of them every week. And constantly just, you know, bouncing stuff off of each other. And sometimes it is right out and out Bible references and passages. And because you need to be challenged with this thing. And so everybody needs them a good sparring partner. And sometimes it may not be, you know, another live human being. It might be a book that you could spar with that could challenge why you believe what you believe. And this is where the Word of God comes in, the sword itself. And then when you go to make a difference in somebody's heart, your personal experience will open the door for that friend at work. You going through what you've gone through in the past is quite valuable to the people that you need to reach out to. All right, so I don't want to demean what you've been through, but listen to this, and this doesn't mean to be derogatory or downplay what your life experiences has been. Those life experiences may very well open the door for you to be able to help somebody, but what the difference is going to be is the Word of God itself. Whether you quote it to them or whether you point them to the passage to let them read it, it is the Word of God that causes the change in a man or a woman's heart. Your experiences now, if they don't like you and if they shut you out, you can know the Bible back and forth. And if they don't like you or they shut you out or they don't respect you, you could quote the Word of God all day long and it's not, and they've already tuned you out. So your experiences and what you've been through is mighty important. And it causes you to relate to people because you've been through what they've been through and you've overcome what they're still struggling with. And because they know that, boy, they're listening. But hear me, it's not your human wisdom or your human philosophy or your human faults or it's not your opinion that's going to save their soul or help them. What's truly going to help them is for you to be able to insert the Word of God into their hearts. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And when you can help plant it in the seed of a person, even though you get promoted or move away or whatever, away from that individual and hadn't seen them in 15 years, the Word of God that you help plant in their soul is still there. It will not return void. It is, the Scripture is the most powerful influencer on the planet. And if you want to make a difference spiritually, then I would strongly encourage you to become familiar with, skilled with, the sword of the Spirit. Because it's how you're going to make spiritual progress, and it's how you're going to help those around you to make some spiritual progress. Last of all, let's talk about this, the shield of faith. I want to read it from the Scripture because it gives us sort of a little time. There's a time-sensitive element here to it, all right? It says this, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be. I'm in verse 16, Ephesians chapter 6. I think I am. I can't see it much. I'm trying to quote it. I forgot my glasses this morning. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Robert, could you hold that for me? Thank you, sir. I'm just kidding. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I think I got it. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You've seen these shows, you know, way back when they would, the Roman soldier would light the arrow tip, right? It was a flame. So you'd send it on and it would either hit the side of the wooden door or whatever it was. But the damage that the arrow or the dart did, the ultimate damage wasn't because of the piercing. The ultimate damage was because that arrow or that dart was on fire. And if it wasn't quenched, then it's going to cause more and more and more damage. And so the scripture here, in other words, you can't keep the devil from shooting the darts. And to be honest, your shield is going to be full of piercings. The idea here is for you to have enough faith, or your faith to be strong enough to where the flame doesn't fester and grow and heat up and burn up more or cause more damage than what it should. But the problem is, what happens is, we get so blown away with the fact that somebody shot at me. He shot at me. And boom, it hits my shield. And you look around there, and sure enough, a fiery dart. Now, you don't remember the last time the devil shot a fiery dart, but you remember the last time your coworker did or your loved one did. Remember, it wasn't them. That's not the true enemy. The fiery dart comes from the devil himself. And he is after your spirit and after your soul. What happens, man? We look around there at that shield and that guy shot. I can't believe that. We work together. That's my relative. I live with this person. I raised that boy. I can't look at that. And that thing's just a burning. And we get so offended and so hurt that the person shot at us, we fail to do something about the arrow, and it's burning. You got to get that thing out of there or just extinguish the flame, because the piercing itself will not hurt you long term. But that fiery dart, that fire will, that fire can absolutely burn your whole little world down if you don't extinguish the flame. So what we're talking about here in defending against offenses is to have enough of a buffer. And you can call it a shield or a wall or some sort of a barrier. The barrier of faith, the shield of faith, the wall of faith, or whatever you want to talk about. But there needs to be some sort of a buffer in between that person wielding that fiery dart, that offense. It's sticking into your armor, your shield, that wall, or that buffer. And your faith being strong enough that it extinguishes the flame so it doesn't cause greater and greater damage. I don't think you can be so callous to where when the person that you thought was on your team's actually, you discovered that they were actually against you or they're trying to hurt you. I don't think we can be so callous to where it's like, no big deal. No, it's going to shock you, man. I mean, look what she said. I can't believe it. All right. So ever how long that lasts for you to be surprised that somebody shot at you, let it last, but then after that, pay attention to the flame, because if it's not taken care of, that flame, man, it'll burn you up. This is the phrase most of the time we use. Man, that burns me up. Well, it shouldn't, and it doesn't have to. It shouldn't, and it doesn't have to. And if our shield is in good working order and we have it on, we can defend against a whole lot of those fiery darts, because the idea is for there to be enough, and most of the time what you're talking about here is this buffer, this shield, really is just time. All right? A pause. Because this is what we all know this. This is what the devil wants you to do. Right? You're at work, you're at home, kid comes in, employee comes over, boss says this, the child says that, the husband, the wife says this, and you look around there and you think, I cannot believe this. After all I've done for you, and your immediate response is, and now try that, how about that, and right back at them. There's no buffer there. It is, man, that hurt. I can't believe she just did that. And you take that arrow and that thing's stuck in your shield, and all you know to do is fire back. Well, she said it. She said it to me first. Well, they started it. I'm going to finish it. No, you're going to finish you is what you're going to finish. So what we need here is we need to be able to hit a pause button long enough to calm down, to think about what's really going on here. Now, I know we hate that because I don't want to calm down. I'm good and mad and hot now right now, and I want to say some stuff while I'm mad. If I calm down, I can't think as good when I'm calmed down. I want to say it right now. So immediately what the devil wants us to do is fire right back. And before you know it, you got two lives here on fire of hell. So we need a shield of faith. We need some sort of buffer to when that thing hits, we got a little time. Let me think about this just a minute. I'm hurt. I am surprised that they said that. I'm surprised that they've done this. I'm hurt. All right? But let me think just a second here. And you'll be amazed what will take place. You'll be amazed at what kind of spiritual advancement you can make if you could just think a minute. Instead of right back at them. Well, how you like this? Well, let me write out this. I'm going to post this one on Facebook for everybody to see. Well, yeah, you're making, that's progress right there. You're really getting somewhere. No, what's happening is that arrow that in and of itself wasn't going to destroy you, but you're going to allow it to because you're going to allow that thing to burn and burn and burn and burn. Extinguish it. So you got to have some time to think. Let's think through here. And what are we going to think? We're going to use our faith. What are some things that you can immediately run to at times like this? You know, my first thought is, here's your foundation. It goes back sort of that helmet of salvation. But here's my first thought is, God loves me. Do you believe this? How many of you believe God loves you? He loves you, right? I mean, he loves you. He is not going to let anything come into my life that he knows I can't handle. I may disagree with what he allows to come into my life. But do you believe that God loves you? And do you believe that God has your best interest at heart? Do you really believe that? I believe that. Let me think then. God loves me. He's got my best interest at heart. He's not going to let anything come into my life that I cannot overcome. And whatever he allows to come into my life is going to be for my good. Maybe others meant it for evil, right? We got some verses to back that up. You meant it for evil, but God means it for good. So God could actually take this and mean it for some good in my life. I don't know how he'll work it out. I don't know how he'll use it to work upon my heart. But now all of a sudden, in just in about 30 seconds after hearing about what that person said or did, I can talk myself back down to where I don't want to fire back off at them. And all of a sudden, yeah, it still hurts. And I can show you where the, right here on my shield, where it went in. And I don't, and there may always be a mark there, but it's not burning any longer. I'm not allowing it to burn. And what put it out was my faith, the faith that God's got my best interest at heart, and he's looking out for me. And if he's going to let, if this is my way of going out of this world, then so be it. But the chances are it's not. And another thing I know is that God can fight my battles a whole lot better than I can. How many of you believe that? He can, right? Well, if God can do it. Now, here's another thing. If you fire back, God will not. If you take matters into your own hands, he'll step back. But don't jump into this fight saying, come on, God, let's get them. No, if you want to step back, God can, he'll take up for you. But now, he's going to drive or you're going to drive, one or the other. But he's not going to let his hands be on the wheel while you're trying to jerk him into the ditch. So now, if you want God involved in this, and if you want God fighting your battles, then you're going to have to step back and let him defend you. And he will, and he longs to. Chances are, it's not going to be the way you wanted it, or as fast as you wanted, or when you wanted, and all that stuff. But just let the Lord handle that. He can take care of it. All right? So here, the fiery dart shoots into the shield, and my faith automatically goes up. God loves me. His best interest, he's got my best interest at heart. He's not going to let anything hit me or hurt me beyond what I could handle. And the Lord will take care of this. Now, that was my first, that's the first initial thoughts we could have. But now here's a couple more that you can run to. All in the matter of less than a, all in the matter of less than 30 seconds almost. The guy that shot the dart. I don't know what's going through his life. I don't know what he's going through. He's probably not a bad guy. She's probably not a bad gal. Chances are they're just broken. So I don't know. I don't know how I, you know, maybe you were just sort of standing in the wrong place at the wrong time. And they might be a mean-spirited person. But you know what? You don't know how they've grown up. You don't know what the stuff they've overcome in their life and the junk that they're trying to wade through and the stuff that's happening in their own families. And so I'm not trying to make excuses for poor behavior or hurtful things that anybody says. All I'm saying is you might just want to cut them a little bit of slack. Because chances are you might need some of that slack later on yourself. Let me ask you, I don't think you'll mind me asking you publicly, and I think we can even respond publicly. Have you ever gossiped about anybody? Never. Have you ever lied in public? No, of course not, right? No, no. In other words, should we be so blown away that some of that stuff comes back? Right? I mean, we shouldn't be, I can't believe they said that. Really? Really? You haven't planted any seeds out there like that that's going to, you know, come back on you? Come on, let's not be this naive to believe. I'm not trying to make excuses for the offenses that we give. I'm just simply saying, cut the person some slack. Because there's coming a time where you're going to feel terrible about something you've said or done. That email, that scathing email that you thought you were sending to a friend and you hit reply all. Or that text that you sent out. And just and as you're watching the little thing saying send, send, you looked up and it's to the wrong person. And what do you do? I'm dead. It just went out to the wrong person. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen on our behalf too. And so just next time somebody shoots, just think of your just think of it as making a deposit. Because one of these days, you're going to need some grace too. And if you don't fire back and shoot back immediately, give it some time. Now, I'm not talking about rolling over and letting people just, you know, take advantage of you. I'm talking about the day in and day out stuff. Let's just make a deposit over here. Because one of these days, I'm going to be the one firing off. I'm going to be the one with the hurtful tongue. And I'm going to hope that somebody will show me some grace. So we need this shield, this buffer, this 30 seconds, 160 seconds of thinking to let that flame burn out as opposed to, oh, how dare you, send another one right your way. The shield of faith. Next week, I want to finish up with what do we do with the wounded among us? We all got it. We all have some wounds. Some of us are a little more hurting a little more than others, but it's inevitable. You're going to get this is a war, and everybody's going to heaven with some wounds. I want to talk to you about what you can do with your wounds, and what we as a church should do for our wounded. Would you bow your heads with me, please, for a moment?